Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our message from Chesley Community Church. Before we go back to our study on the Holy Spirit, let's just take a few moments to pray. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to gather together and to study your word together. We thank you for your word. We thank you that the Holy Spirit inspired the prophets of old to write down, to record what you would have us to know. Thank you, Lord, that we can have confidence in the Word of God. Lord, we want to lift up those who might be watching today who are not feeling well or going through difficult times in their lives. And Lord, we pray that your Spirit would be with them, that they would sense the presence of Jesus in their room. Lord, for those who are having a physical problem, we pray for healing. Lord, we pray that you'd surround those who are struggling with emotions, with anxiety. Lord, that you'd be ministering to them and they would sense that you're very close. So now we ask specifically that you would bless this lesson today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week in our study in the Holy Spirit, in the pursuit of the Holy Spirit, we began to look at the ministry of the Old Testament. Ministry of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. And today we want to pick up and go on a little bit from that. Last week we were looking at the ministry of the Holy Spirit during the period covered by the books of the law. And today we want to move on to the period that's often referred to as the Judges and the Kings. This covers a relatively long period of time. For example, the period of Judges lasted at least 440 years. During this period, Joshua had died and there was no king in Israel as of yet, and so the nation was ruled by a series of leaders that are referred to as judges. And during this period, we see that on occasion, the Holy Spirit empowered these judges in order to allow them to carry out the roles that God had assigned to them. So the first example that we come across is that of Othniel. Othniel, interesting name. In Judges chapter 3, beginning at verse 9, we read this. But when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help, the Lord raised up a rescuer to save them. His name was Othniel, the son of Caleb's younger brother, Kenaz. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he became Israel's judge. He went to war against King Cushan of Aram, and the Lord gave Othniel victory over him. So there was peace in the land for 40 years. The context that surrounds these verses is important. We read a little earlier that the nation had done evil. They had forgotten the Lord and had begun to worship the idols of their neighbors. And as a result, God lets them fall into captivity. But when they come to their senses, God hears their prayer for mercy, and by his Holy Spirit, he raises up this leader who would lead the nation into war and freedom from King Cushan. A couple of points to note here in our study. The Holy Spirit is instrumental here in seeing that the will of the Father comes to pass. And it is important that we pursue the Holy Spirit in our lives so that he will help us work out the will of God in our lives. Secondly, Othniel appears to be just an ordinary guy. And so here's another case of God bringing Holy Spirit power into the life of an ordinary guy who is then enabled to do some amazing things. Now after this, many years would pass. The people would once again fall into temptation, they would fall away from God, and God would once again punish them by allowing them to fall into the hands of the Midianites. And once again, eventually the cry for help comes, and once again God chooses an ordinary guy to do some extraordinary things. In Judges chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, we are introduced to an ordinary farmer named Gideon. And we read there, Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a winepress to hide the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, Mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Now, if you were reading the entire story, you would see that Gideon was not thinking about himself as a mighty hero, but God was. And God made it clear to him that he was sending him. And then, as we go on and read in the Judges chapter 6, verse 33, we read this. Soon afterward, the armies of Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east formed an alliance against Israel and crossed the Jordan, camping in the valley of Jezreel. And then the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon with power. He blew a ram's horn as a call to arms, and the men of the clan of Abiezer came to him. He also sent messengers throughout Manasseh, Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, summoning their warriors, and all of them responded. So here's another case of God choosing an ordinary guy to accomplish his purposes in amazing ways by empowering him with his Holy Spirit. And perhaps what might go rather easily unnoticed here is the response to his leadership. The text says that all of them responded. Now think about this. It's unlikely that everyone would respond to this relative nobody in his call to join the war against the nation's enemies unless the word had got out that something very special and very powerful had happened to Gideon. When the Holy Spirit fills people, it becomes obvious to those around. So those Old Testament examples prophetically pointed forward to our Lord's word when he would say, "You shall have power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Now we could go on to look at Jephthah and Samson, again cases where God empowered men to accomplish his plans. But there's another important point that we learn from these cases. They were ordinary people, but they were not perfect people. While the Holy Spirit worked powerfully at times in Jephthah, he eventually made a very foolish vow that ended in tragedy. And while the Holy Spirit moved powerfully at times through Samson, his poor decisions, his poor choices, resulted in his life ending in tragedy. We learn from these examples that we as humans are still free will agents. We can be used of God to do extraordinary things, but that doesn't make us perfect. We are born with a sinful nature, and the enemy works with that nature to lure us away from God. Regardless of how powerfully at times we may sense the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we must remain aware that our enemy will likely be at work too. So now in our study, we fast forward to the book of Samuel. The people have been insisting that they should have a king. So God finally relents and a man is chosen to be king. We pick up the story in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 15. That's 1 Samuel 9:15. And we read there, "Now the Lord had told Samuel the previous day, 'About this time tomorrow I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin. Anoint him to be the leader of my people. He will rescue them from the Philistines. For I have looked down on my people in mercy and I have heard their cry.' When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said, 'That's the man I told you about. He will rule my people.'" And once again, we see in verse 21 that the selection is not with the most obvious or the most influential person. In verse 21, Saul says, "But I'm only from the tribe of Benjamin, the smallest tribe in Israel. And my family is the least important of all the families of that tribe. Why are you talking like this to me?" Now, to see how God is going to manage what Saul believes is a problem, we skip ahead to chapter 10, verses 6 and 7. Listen to what Samuel says to Saul. "At that time, the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them. You will be changed into a different person. And after these signs take place, do what must be done, for God is with you." So once again, God is empowering the individual he has selected by filling him with his Holy Spirit. But this case adds an important aspect to our study of the various roles of the Holy Spirit. Notice very carefully Samuel's prediction to Saul. You will be changed into a different person. And one of the reasons that you and I should be pursuing more of the Holy Spirit in our lives is because it is the work of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life that initiates change. The more we are being led and fed by the Spirit, the more He will bring to our minds the things that need changing. And furthermore, it will be the power of the Holy Spirit working within us that enables us to make the desired changes. Are you dealing with an attitude that you know is not pleasing to God, but you just can't seem to shake it? Pursue more of the Holy Spirit in your life. You will be a changed person. Are you struggling with habits you can't seem to break? Pursue more of the Holy Spirit. Welcome Him into your life. He will empower you. You will be able to break the chain. You will be a changed person. Do you find there are times in your life where you struggle to determine right from wrong? Struggle to discern appropriate from inappropriate? Pursue more of the Holy Spirit. He will bring to you discernment and life-changing power. You will be a changed person. And so now we skip down to verse 9 to see the result. Samuel has made this prediction, and now we go to verse 9 to see what happens. As Saul turned and started to leave, God gave him a new heart, and all Samuel's signs were fulfilled that day. And when Saul and his servant arrived at Gibeah, they saw a group of prophets coming toward them, and then the Spirit of God came powerfully upon Saul. And he too began to prophesy. And when those who knew Saul heard about it, they exclaimed, "What? Is even Saul a prophet? How did the son of Kish become a prophet?" So this ends with a good question. How did Saul, from the smallest tribe in Israel, and from the least important family within that tribe, become king and became one who prophesied? Answer: God filled him with His Spirit, and the Spirit changed him into a different person. And once again, the Holy Spirit filling in Saul was obvious to those around. They realized that God had worked amazing change in this ordinary guy from the least important family in the least important tribe. If we look ahead at the New Testament for just a moment, there's no doubt that the fishermen and tax collectors who stood by and watched the trial of Jesus in fear and eventually fled the scene, no doubt that they were changed men from the day of Pentecost onward. The Holy Spirit was a life-changing power in the Old Testament. He was a life-changing power in the New Testament, and He will be a life-changing power for all those who pursue Him today. Unfortunately, Saul's story is yet another one that doesn't end well. He falls into disobedience. He becomes extremely jealous of David. And we read in 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 14, that the Spirit of God left Saul. So the Spirit of God had come and empowered him, given strength and power to do amazing things. But because of his disobedience and the sin of jealousy, God withdrew His Spirit from Saul. So an important lesson to learn is that God does indeed withdraw His Spirit when we fall into sin and disobedience. Such was also the case with King David. If we look at Psalm 51, verses 10 and 11, that's Psalm 51, verses 10 and 11, we see that King David has acknowledged his sin and is pleading for restoration and for God not to withdraw His Spirit. "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me." David's plea here is a good template for us. If we sense that the Holy Spirit is drifting away, if we once sensed His power, His anointing, and His infilling, and somehow today it doesn't seem to be as strong, it's usually because of what we've been allowing to go on unchecked in our lives. So take the initiative. Be like David. Acknowledge it. Seek forgiveness. Pray earnestly for the Spirit to once again come to lead and to feed. Now there are several other examples in the Old Testament that demonstrate the role and power of the Holy Spirit, but we simply haven't time to cover them all. One aspect that I do want to bring to your attention is to expand just a little bit on the creative role of the Spirit. We mentioned it briefly in our overview at the start of the series, but I want to look at a little more detail, just a couple of important verses. So let's look at some important verses from Job. Now, if you're like me, perhaps the book of Job is not your favorite bedtime reading, so you may have missed these. In chapter 33, verse 4, Job makes this very significant statement. For the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. So I want you to note here the creative role of the Spirit. Job says the Spirit of God made him. And then think about the significance of this truth when we think about the issues of our day. Issues like abortion. Issues like medically assisted suicide. We need to be reminded that when we make decisions to take human life, we are taking action, and I would submit we're taking responsibility for killing a life that God has created. Next, in Job chapter 34, verses 14 and 15, Job makes this amazing statement about the Spirit's role in sustaining life. He says there, if God were to take back his Spirit and withdraw his breath, all life would cease and humanity would turn again to dust. Think about that. All life would cease. So we've seen from our Old Testament survey that there are many roles of the Holy Spirit, even that of sustaining life itself. And lastly, for today's thoughts as we move forward to the New Testament age, we want to look at how the prophet saw the Holy Spirit's role in the ministry of the Messiah. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. That's Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Isaiah is one of the most prolific prophets of the Old Testament when it comes to predictions about the Messiah who would come. Many of his prophecies have been completely fulfilled and many are yet pending. These prophecies could not have been so accurately spoken about hundreds of years before Jesus appears in Bethlehem without supernatural influence. And so the Holy Spirit was very much at work in Isaiah's life, filling him with predictive words for the future. In this passage, we see that the Holy Spirit will be very much at work in the life of the Messiah. Think about this for a moment. If the power of the Holy Spirit was essential in the life of Jesus, how much more is he essential in our lives today? And in that thought, we have yet another reason to be much in pursuit of the Holy Spirit. And then one last thought for today from Isaiah, and it's found in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. Isaiah writes this concerning the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. And then in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, you're probably familiar with this, Jesus reads this verse in the temple and then he says, "And this day the prophecy is confirmed in your ears." In other words, Jesus was proclaiming himself to be the Messiah that Isaiah had been predicting. The role of the Holy Spirit, powerful in the life of Jesus. Lord, as we close our message today, as we terminate our thoughts on this subject for a few days, Lord, would your Spirit continue to go with us? Would your Spirit continue to anoint us? Would you, as your Holy Spirit, connect with our spirit and remind us that we should be in pursuit of your Holy Spirit. Give us a desire to know more about you and to know more of you in our day-to-day lives. We thank you, Lord, for your gift of the Holy Spirit. We pray your blessing on your people today. Bring them back next Sunday, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you. That's our message for today. God bless you, and we'll see you again next Sunday morning.